Brian.
And I'm Richie.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Reggie. I've got a feeling this is going to be a very masculine episode. Masculinity is going to be flowing from us. Hyper-masculinity. I like that word, hyper-masculinity. How's your mind, Reggie?
It's good. Well, you know what? It's good. I did have plenty of conversations this week that would, I think I've... Okay. You know how when you're younger... And like every argument you get into, it's like a big deal and you like, you know,
you overemphasize the argument,
yeah.
Get angry and yell and
yeah,
act stupid.
This was again, one of those times where you realize just how much you've grown since you were like 22 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you.
And you feel like, you know, instead of, because there's two things. One is I'm very secure in who I am, very secure in what I believe, very secure in my perspective of the world. So like when somebody has a difference of opinion, I don't even really care about arguing with them. It's like, it doesn't even matter. Right. And it was a really telling thing this week when I just didn't care. You know, I thought about that. It was just one of those things where you just stop and you think, you know, I just don't care.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something. I think that comes from beginning to see through the veils very clearly. Like you and I see through the veils, like the truth is the truth. And I think that part of the reason why I don't feel a need to go head to head with people is because it's just garbage. Like if you're going to bring garbage to the table, I'm going to swat it away like garbage. I'm going to treat it like garbage. I'm not going to step in it. Right. And I think that's where you're at. I've been following some of your stuff on Facebook and.
You can see I'm not even arguing.
Yeah. You're just kind of stating facts and making.
But see, because here's what people do, right? They'll if you want to debate a certain topic. Mm-hmm. What you want to stay away from is generalities.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cause I mean, look, I'm the only reason why I post something is just because either I want to just stir the pot and see who gets mad and upset
or you have tried to stir the pot with some Doge a little bit. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah. Because I find it hilarious. When I post something like that just says Doge it all.
Yeah.
And then you get this diatribe.
This flood of people who literally have, it's just, I still, I don't know. Maybe it's me. I just can't get over the fact that people haven't, there's no facts. Like you just jump on and start posting hot garbage. I mean,
but then you ask them for facts. Here's the key.
Yeah.
This is what it is. You have a segment of the population that still believes that the mainstream media is reporting real, is doing real journalism and is respected and professional, but they're not. They're paid actors that are, they call them anchors, but really they're just actors reading a script.
Well, here, I'll break it down a little deeper for you. All right. So as we all know, one of our favorite race baiters lost her show this week.
What?
Joy Reid.
I know. Good riddance.
But I don't really care about that. What I care about is the fact that Rachel Maddow went on a little diatribe against her boss, which she should be fired for that. That you don't go out, you don't question the people you work for on a public platform.
I don't care about that, dude, really.
Well, but here's what I mean. All right, so you love Joy Reid so much. You make $25 million a year. Why didn't you offer up a little money to keep her on the air? If you loved her that much, if you thought she was that relevant, why didn't you take the hit? Why didn't you sell one of your multiple homes that you have, your Civil War era home that has massagers waiting there and all those things? Like you're such a garbage human being because you went on there and played like you were sad. And when you left, you went back to your $1 million home. This is what bothers me. You are multimillionaires sitting on your little fiefdom thrones of false news and false media, attempting to tell me what I should feel bad for.
Okay.
When the entirety of what you've built your entire existence on is a lie.
So let me just, I only know a couple truly wealthy people who live an extravagant lifestyle who can afford that kind of thing. I only know a couple of them.
I don't know any.
And I don't really know them really well. We don't hang out or anything. I just know them and we have met personally kind of thing. There's not that many. You got to understand, there's really not that many. So most of the people I know or interact with or whatever are middle class, if that, if not lower middle class, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, it's not like we're hanging out with, you know, czars and, you know, sheiks and stuff like that. Right. Okay. Yep. So here's the thing. So when you go on and you're watching the news, you are watching someone who's being paid a whole lot of money,
$25 million.
Yes, to read something from the elitist perspective. Okay, they all do this, by the way. This is, I'm not saying right or left. I'm saying all of them do this. Okay, they take, and so you got to understand. So this is what people don't get, and we've said this before, but I want to reemphasize. There's like six freaking companies that own 90% of the global media.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Six, and guess what? All six of those kind of own each other.
Yeah,
because they all have stakes in all the different ones, and they're all woke liberal activists, quote unquote. Now, what that doesn't mean is that they're for the people. What that does mean, they're for power, and they promote and they try to get stuff because the liberal mechanisms of Marxism and socialistic ideas are for the powerful and the elite, not for the average American.
You know the best way to get rich off of guilt, Reggie? To convince everybody that they're guilty of something.
No kidding. Soros. Here's a great example. Soros. Mm-hmm. I've heard these leftists rave about how philanthropy and all that kind of stuff is. But do you realize that Musk has laid this out very clearly and he did this on the latest Joe Rogan show. Like, he went through and gave the example of how Soros uses his money. And it's he's using your money. He doesn't use his money. He uses your money. And he lays it all out. Now, who would know this? And you, because I'm tired of hearing all this billionaires ruling the country. You've had billionaires ruling the world for decades.
Way more than that. Probably the last 100 years, to be honest with you.
Well, Reagan, I don't think was a puppet of the cabal.
I don't think he was a puppet of the cabal, but I think he was super aware that you had to learn to work with them in order to make function.
The Bushes are a great example of that. They played ball
with the billionaires. Cabal.
Well, yeah.
Bush was an oil billionaire.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, but now you have a billionaire in there who doesn't care. And frankly, he's mad. He's just mad. Look, here's the deal. Like, I don't like trust Trump and Musk with, I mean, like, if you said, do you trust them with your life? I'd be like, no. But what I do trust is that they're mad. They feel like they've been wronged by a certain group of people.
Yeah.
And the gloves are off and they're going to go do it. So do I think they both have the country is in the highest regard and all that kind of stuff? Well, no, I just think they're mad and I think they're going after the left.
I will slightly disagree with you in that sense.
Well, I'm not standing on this hill, by the way.
I will say that Trump and Musk realize that if we don't fix what's happening, that there won't be a middle class.
Yeah.
There won't be an upper middle class. There will be poor and hyper wealthy. You know, and I feel like, are they making backroom deals to make things happen? Absolutely. But are they making the same backroom deals that Biden was making? No, because Biden's not one of the uber hyper wealthy elite.
No.
He wanted to be. Yeah. So that's why he did all the garbage that he did. That's why he allowed all the things to happen. You can't buy a billionaire, and Musk and Trump are billionaires. What are you going to give them that they don't already have?
This is what I mean, though. Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I guess what I'm saying is that I think they're doing that.
Yeah.
And that plays into their game of being pissed off and going after that certain people. Right.
Absolutely.
So, cause Musk
the liberal media has just crapped all over Trump for the last 4 years.
Yeah. So he doesn't have to worry about another term. He doesn't. He's already done his research. He knows. And both Musk and Trump are not the ones who do everything. They know who to go after to get those people.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause like Musk himself, cause this is what Chris Langan has said on his stuff, man. Cause he's a pretty harsh critic, right? You can't really get anything over on Chris Langan. That dude will melt you down if you have
very intelligent.
But you, if you have a different opinion, man, you better come
You better come strapped.
Oh boy, it does, dude. He's
gonna take a shot at the king. You better not miss.
He will tear you down. I mean, he'll have a diatribe on his freaking Facebook group that just roasts everything about you,
and it's 150% factual. Like, it's crazy. Nothing, you can't poke holes in.
But anyway, what he says was, you know, Musk never did anything. He hired people to do those things.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's right.
He is.
I mean, but now here's what I do think. Chris Lang has got he's butthurt too about all kinds of things. So I think some of that plays out too, because he's been just shoved aside and all this stuff because of all kinds of things, right? Because he's not the elitist and all that kind of stuff. So there is some of that that goes on with some things with his, but I digress. Anyway, the point being is that the disagreement and the trust level isn't what happens here. Cause it's like, do you trust Musk with all this stuff? And I'm like, no, the thing that I'm looking at is that I frankly don't see anybody else who could be there that have any more trust though. I mean, because it takes somebody outside of that bureaucracy and outside of that system to come in and change it. I just don't understand why that's such a hard thing to grasp.
Well, that's super true. But here's my point in all of it. And this is why I ordered my Doge t-shirt today.
Yes. You didn't buy me one?
They didn't have 4X, dude. They only had 3X and 2X.
Fat man sizes.
You're not fat man. You're just a big muscular dude. Anyway, what you're seeing right now from the left is this very, it's vapid, it's transparent. Okay, so Elon Musk has found so far, and we can fact check this, but so far, right around a total of about $6.5 or $6.6 trillion. So think about that. That's what, 20% of our national debt?
Already.
And he's not done yet. And the Democrats and the hard left liberals are sitting around trying to convince you that it's okay that they spent your money that way. And you're so foolish that you're going, that's your hard-earned money. That's the money you went to work for every day. That's the money that my sweat and my equity earned and my labor equity earned. I don't know. No.
I posted a picture of when there was a I forgot who it was on Twitter. There was a couple of those pages where they talked about a line item for media manipulation by something or whatever. And it was, whatever, how much it was. And one of the pictures was the line item from the actual report.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so the comments I got back were, well, that's just, so, okay, so you're going to just trust some picture from some dude on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you step back and look at that statement for a second? All of it is some dude on the internet with a picture, right? Yeah. Like manipulated or not, or false or not, or whatever. Everything is some dude on the internet.
The press secretary brought the receipts hand out to the reporters.
Again, if somebody takes a picture of that and posts it, then it's like,
it's suddenly a lie.
It's suddenly all just some dude on the internet. But you know what? This is the problem though. If your mainstream media has been getting money and funding to warp the narrative a certain way, and then you're going to, and if that is true, and that's all you're going to look at, all you're going to get is slanted narrative.
Absolutely.
So at some point you got to say, maybe it's for the benefit of truth in general, if I look other places. Once you have so many of these other places that validate another point of view, it's time to say, maybe that isn't the only, that's my point from all these idiots that keep commenting on social media, is that you are blindly just ignoring the vast number of other sourcing that happens because it's not quote unquote mainstream.
Yeah. And here's the thing though. All right, so let's say that the whole Doge giving everybody $5,000 back.
I don't care about all
that. But I'm just saying, let's say that happens. Are you going to send your check back? Or are you going to take the $5,000? If you believe that this is all some sort of conspiratorial right-wing Trump initiated garbage, don't take the check. You took the checks when Biden was writing them over COVID, right? You took them. You took the extra $300 everybody got. I took it. I'm not ashamed to say I'm. The government gives me money. Hey, I've worked for my entire life.
Because I've paid so much into the freaking government.
Yeah, I don't have any shame.
And I continue to. Here's a good example. I was thinking about this the other day. Employee, like my employee stock purchase program, okay, is pretty cool because they'll buy stock. They'll take money out of your paycheck after tax, by the way. So tax is already taken out of my paycheck. So I've already paid tax on the money. After tax, they take some of that money and buy stock for a discounted rate.
Yes.
After so long, I can sell that stock, right? For usually a small profit. Now, mind you, I've already been taxed on the money I put into this. So what happens though?
You get taxed again.
I get taxed again on any interest I've incurred because that's income now. So that gets my taxed upon taxes. And if you say, well, that money really wasn't taxed. Dude, the original money was taxed. Okay. So even if you don't say, okay, so that money comes out, it's taxed as income. When I go buy something,
you get taxed again.
I get taxed again for a sales tax. There's very few states that have no sales tax, by the way. And even if you said no, but there's taxes into, I'm paying taxes for the manufacturing and building of that product as well. Not, and that's numerous number of things and regulations. Regulations are taxes, by the way, of all these things too. Now, let's say if I bought gasoline though.
Yeah.
Now I've got like three or four taxes on top of the income tax, on top of the wage, the interest tax, on top of the other sales tax. And how is that in anybody's mind a good
fair
thing?
And right.
How's that? How is that
fair and right?
How? So when somebody says taxation is theft, I completely agree with them. You've gone far, far, far and above what we should be. Well, what about the roads?
That should be up to the states to maintain the roads, not the federal government.
Not that, but where? Okay, how? Okay, here. Let me ask you a question. The Department of Transportation was created when?
I have no idea. Just being honest, I haven't paid any attention. I've been too busy chasing.
It's literally like 70 years.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think it's been around. I want to say probably the 60s.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So did we have roads before the 60s, Brian?
Yes.
Huh. Wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
Huh.
Tariffs. Sorry. I'm sorry.
So anyway, look, here's while we're on this political thing, because I really think I copied this out because I think this is an example of the woke hive mind at work. And I will not say who this is because
you're better than me. I would
call it out
so
here. let me see. I'll skip a couple of these lines. She's talking about the Doge stuff. Yeah. The process itself is not and never has been transparent. It is difficult to discuss deep state, quote unquote, with anyone who has their head wrapped only in right-wing media. I voted Republican for 22 years in a row, and I voted for Trump in 2016. I voted for Trump because of Pizzagate. Sure, it sounded very unbelievable, but what if it were true? I couldn't have that on my conscience. I didn't know at the time that it was stuck inside a right-wing propaganda bubble, right? As I eventually made my way out of the bubble, I learned about the process and ethics behind professional journalism, learned about the critical thinking process, learned the importance of asking difficult questions and listening to opposing views, it became so much clearer the deep state, quote unquote, is a fear-mongering technique. Kids having sex change operations at school is a fear-mongering technique.
No.
Immigrants eating cats and dogs is a fear-mongering technique.
No.
I'm not done yet. immigrants causing tremendous rates of crime is a fear-mongering tactic.
No.
It is a fact that fear is the easiest way to manipulate people. And here we are with a leader setting up a true deep state with true billionaires around the country, and his followers are giving him a free pass because they've been duped into believing it was the way all along without a single bit of evidence. It is incredibly maddening to watch this con man fool so many people who are intelligent people but have been fooled into believing the quote-unquote truth they are standing for is actually truth and not propaganda. I don't Yeah. Truth is always backed by evidence. Propaganda will never be backed by evidence. That's why Trump was convicted of 34 felonies. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
You cannot use propaganda to defend yourself in a court of law. They did that with Trump, though. Yeah. If you step back, look at this from a different angle. Listen to opposing views. Ask yourself questions you've been afraid to ask yourself and set your ego aside. Please understand, ego is most certainly involved in choosing to stay in the right-wing bubble. And the only way I know is because of the hit I took on my own ego as I started to realize I allowed myself to be talked into putting myself in a bubble of lies. You might see what is really happening here. Okay. That was her argument to me about why my perception was wrong.
Did you notice, though, in the entire thing that you just read, Reggie, from start to finish where you started, she did not post a single fact?
Yes. And I've pointed this out, actually.
She did not post a single fact, single statistic, single anything. And this is what the left-wingers are famous for. When you challenge them, they will write this seemingly vigilant diatribe that leads nowhere and gives you nothing. That leads you nowhere and gives you nothing. And see, this, all that is right there is emotion. It's emotion.
This is,
I'm betrayed and did Pizzagate. Don't be stupid. I'm sorry, but I don't know who that is. You didn't give me their name. Don't really want their name because I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah.
You're stupid. And the reason I'm saying that is not because you're not capable of being intelligent. You're willfully ignorant of the facts.
But
it doesn't make sense.
It's been twisted. So it sounds to me, if you read this, it sounds to me like she's rebelling against her family of some sort. I don't know. But this whole 22-year thing and blah, 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 look the other way. It just sounds like, I don't know. And here's the other thing. We've actually had some other theological conversations, and they're just as warped as that one is. Something happened to cause this rebellious thing or some psychotic break. But the thing is, through all this, when I have asked for actual, I've said what you've just told, probably why my response to this was, you didn't really tell me anything. What's the point?
Yeah.
Where
are your facts?
And then what happens is I get a New York Times article, something from freaking
left-wing ABC, liberal media,
from NBC, or whatever. If I post anything saying, well, did you look at this, look at this, look at this, they disregard that completely.
Do you know how many times MSNBC, the New York Post, ABC, and CBS have had to apologize and put out retractions because of the lies that they've told? Go online and look.
So is Fox.
Rachel, and it's, so is Fox. I'm not saying Fox is any better, no, but the problem is, and here's where I think the imbalance is in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of right-wing media. There really isn't.
Well, because it's all out of the mainstream.
Yeah, Fox is pretty, like, kind of stands alone. And Fox is fighting a battle with ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. You know, here's the thing. If you're so right, and that is correct, why did Jeff Bezos correct the improprieties of the publication that he owns?
Why was there a difference in what?
So what are you going to tell me now that all of a sudden Jeff Bezos is a right-wing conspirator? No, he realizes that he's lost his way and that it's out of control.
Well, he's losing money. It ain't about it.
Well, it's not even about losing money. He could lose money for the next decade and still be a multi-billionaire. It's about, he's in behind President Trump. He donated to Trump's inauguration because he understands that he's trying to bring business back here and not take it out there, right? He's trying to strengthen our position, which there are facts for that. And we can give you facts. There's facts. There's processes and procedures and executive orders that have gone out that are strictly to reorganize the chaos. And the fact that you're okay with working hard and having your money pissed away makes you ridiculous. Like, do you not care that they're lying to you every day?
But this,
that they're telling you, oh, well, you know, well, yeah, there's $5.7 trillion of untracked money, but it's okay. We should keep giving money to Zelensky, although he lost $100 billion and can't account for it. Are you have to be mathematically completely inept to think that that's okay.
A good example is just here recently with the Zelensky interview and how that was reported.
Yeah.
Look at the headlines.
You walked into the president's office and showed him disrespect. I'd have bounced you too.
But what I'm saying is the reporting of that. See how that is being portrayed. Okay. Look at the headlines. Look, make sure when you read an article from whatever source, look at the descriptive words and then come back and tell me that there's not a bias or that your professional journalism is actually doing what it's supposed to do. You can't.
But let's be clear. Fox isn't doing it either.
No, like, of course. But this is where I'm going with it. Why are you completely saying anything you read from whatever source is valid? You must go to so many other things. And beyond all that anymore, they'll take clips, which they have already taken these really small clips, shoved it out and said, hey, look how terrible Trump is and how he reacted to
this. You don't take the full context of what was said.
No. So you got to go back, which is what I've done this week too, because I saw some reports. And for those of you who say, I only look at right-wing media, you are absolutely totally wrong. I read some articles that said that there were some clips that were put out that said that, you know, they hadn't had Trump and it didn't look good. It was like, why is he saying it like that? I looked at the headlines. I looked at the freaking articles. I was like, oh, look, there's some similarities in how they're describing all this and using the same clip. Maybe there's some more information. So you dig into that a little bit. Oh, and there's the 50-minute interview in total. Let's go look at that a little bit. Oh, the context of that is completely missing.
Yeah.
Oh, who would have thought?
I can manipulate anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't take – this is not hard to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that – because, frankly, I'm not a right-wing – guy.
I'm more libertarian than I am.
We both are, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even about right wing or not. It's just about being not mainstream. Like, I'm just not mainstream, period. I'm not of this world. I'm going home eventually. That's where I'm at.
Well, here's the facts. I don't take anything that Fox News, CNN says as a fact. If I hear something and I go, man, I immediately begin to research. And then I dig in and I find, you know, all of these inequities. And then I go back to the original sourcing and then I make my conclusion based on that. And this is what I'm talking about. It's on the right and the left too.
Yeah.
It's this immediate rush to judgment because you're lazy. A rush to judgment is a sign of being lazy. I'm going to believe what MSNBC tells me because I don't really want to go do any research. I don't want to dig into it. And then when you challenge me, I'm going to have this asymptomatic emotional reaction that says, well, I've got to be right. No, as a matter of fact, you don't have to be right. I can tell you that I have in many cases looked up something thinking I was going to find something different and I was wrong. And I own those instances. I don't have a problem telling people, hey man, I was wrong about that. Like I got out ahead of the game, but I'm going to study this because here's the thing. For the last 50 years in one form or another, Reagan, Bush, second Bush, Obama, Carter, Biden,
even Carter,
Clinton have lied consistently across the board. So any American who has any level of intelligence, Trump has lied too, any level of intelligence is not going to believe any of it. And they're going to go, I got to figure this out. But here's the society that we've created. We've become so addicted to what's coming on the screen and we've raised these people up to such a high level that we've decided that our own intelligence doesn't matter. Why would that even be the case, right?
Even in this whole diatribe, though, she says critical thinking, all this stuff, but there's nothing.
There's no critical thinking in that diatribe. No. None. Nothing that she typed there shows me that she sourced anything, that she went to both sides and looked really hard and really kind of vetted it all out. here's what happened. She read what you said and she jumped on and she vomited up a bunch of emotional garbage that doesn't really matter and doesn't take me anywhere. Now, if she would have literally posted some sources and said, hey, this is where I got this and this is where I got this, I would have said, hey, man, forward me that. I want to go research that.
But see,
but she's not going to do that, because if she does that, then she's going to have to factually defend her position. Let me give you another example. Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett has literally sat in our Congress, and I researched it. She goes, well, since Elon Musk took over Twitter, it's worth 75%. Lie. It's not worth 75% less. It's actually breaking even and about to become profitable. So she has no idea what she's talking about. What she's doing is taking people like is in that comment you just read to me and giving them fodder for their emotions. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this in the best way I know how to say it. I don't care about your emotions, because your emotions don't pay bills.
No.
Your emotions don't take care of life. Your common sense does. So if you come at me with common sense, if you say, hey, you know what, Brian, that sounds like a good thing to do. Let me research my sources and then let's go back and forth with some stuff that actually matters. Then I'm going to go back and forth with you. But what I do with people like that on my Facebook feed is I instantly block them. Not because they're left wing or right wing, because they have no ability to defend their position. They just listen to garbage.
It's constant, dude.
You're a keyboard warrior. Do me a favor. Put your keyboard down. Put your phone down. You know, go to your desktop computer if you own one. Open it and actually source your material. Right? I literally, what we're about to talk about today, I spent 7 days sourcing material, looking for articles, taking deep dives so that I can make sure that nothing that I say is false. But that's because I'm willing to do the work. If you're not, I'm sorry, shut up. Because you're not contributing anything at all when you do that.
Yeah. And I mean, look, here's the thing I would advise everybody. I don't think anybody who is a social media acquaintance of mine online, I have not commented on any of your opinions of anything political in a disagreeing manner. I won't, because there's no point in having this comment.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Yet they continue to do that with me, which look, I'm fine. You want to do, I don't generally block people unless you're really nasty, but I just don't, I'm not going to argue with you unless you come to me with here's the thing. If you come to me with an actual argument, like debate, where there's a specific topic, there's a specific thing you want to throw out there that, hey, have you looked at this yet?
Great. Give me some stuff to research.
Yes. Yeah. Happy. I want to do that.
Yeah.
But what I won't do is pander to your diatribes of nonsense. Okay. I just think that's a waste of time. It is. Now, I've done that because I found it hilarious in a lot of, and you've probably read some of this stuff.
I have, yeah.
And it's just like, and you've probably heard my voice talking.
Yes. I can hear you saying these things in my head, yes.
Especially when I'm saying I find your opinion repulsive.
Exactly. Well, it's just
so this, anyway.
It's hey, I don't want to do anything hard. I don't want to do the work. I just want to be right.
Okay, so speaking of things and wealthy and all this kind of stuff, I want to briefly talk about Andrew Tate.
Yes, Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate. Now, in all fairness, I routinely have seen quotes and memes and posts and everything else from Tate a lot, right? And there's some of it where I was like, okay, well, that makes total sense. Because there is some things where he talks about self-control. He talks about being a leader, right? Some things like that. But what I wasn't going to do. Okay, here's what I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to sit there and hunt through social media to find posts and do that. I used AI mm-hmm. to just spit out. I asked it. I used a Perplexity. I said, hey, I need some quotes from Andrew Tate about manhood that are sourced. So mm-hmm. I did. And so they spit out a bunch of stuff. And I said, okay, I want to know some of the stuff that he talks about relationships and women. So I did that. So it goes through and it dug through all the social media feeds and poked out some stuff for me there. And then I said, where is, I use Vadi Bakum mm-hmm. as a standard. I said, where does Vadi Bakum and Andrew Tate differ in their, stance on man or defining manhood? And it spit out a whole bunch of stuff yep. there too. Okay. So that's what I did. It's cause I didn't, to be honest, Tate wasn't, I felt like he wasn't worth the effort.
Well, I'm going to break some hearts here.
There you go.
I'm going to open this
to you, Brian, because I mean, I have some stuff noted, but I'm just saying.
All right. So I'm going to make this really easy. Andrew Tate, let's talk about Andrew Tate. He's a former kickboxer.
He was pretty good.
He was a very good kickboxer. He was a world champion. So I give him credit for that. It takes a lot of work and effort to be a world champion. But I want to first start with some of his quotes about masculinity.
Let's go.
Because I want people to understand who we're talking about. Quote number one, the harder you work, the more important you become. That's very vague and kind of ridiculous. There's nothing behind that really. If you want a happy tomorrow, you need truths that hurt today. Don't totally disagree with that, but still kind of vague and weird. Nobody will get jealous of losers, so work hard for your success. Close your eyes and focus on making yourself feel powerful and excited. Imagine yourself destroying goals with ease. I'm a fan of you got to go through it to get to it. That just kind of erases the go through it part. I'm not really. Your thoughts should always be stronger than your feelings. I don't totally disagree with that. You get freedom only when you no longer trade your time for money. Well, that's kind of what employment is. I don't
really. Okay, that goes in line with his idea about finances.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you'll probably find something in there.
You are exactly who you deserve to be. Change who you are and you will change how you live. Well, that's kind of insulting the majority of men in the world. That's okay. I don't. Find someone as successful as you'd like to be and ask them what to do. Do it and work hard. Well, I'd like to have as much money as, the mafia, but I'm not going to go kill people and throw them in the river. That's a stupid thing to say out loud. Now let's go over a little bit of what Andrew Tate says about women. This is really where we get into quote number one. Women are like cars. You can get a new one whenever you want, but you always want to keep the old one in good condition in case you need it again. Ladies, that's straight telling you that your value is limited. Two, a woman's value is directly proportionate to her beauty and femininity. We forgot about a woman's ability to provide family, to provide
many things,
stability, functionality of family, all those things. You just sort of dismissed that. But I kind of expect that from a guy who thinks you should have as many kids with as many different women as you can, or you're not a man. The key to understanding women is to realize they're driven by emotions, not logic. That's a partially true statement, but not totally true. Women need to be led. They crave a strong, dominant man to guide them.
Led in not the way that he would think.
Yes.
That's the difference. And this is from a guy who says if you have children from only one woman, you are not a man.
Yeah.
And then somebody posts about, well, I have babies from three women, and he says you're a conqueror.
Here's one that I agree with. Number seven. The modern feminist movement has destroyed women's understanding of their natural roles and desires. I actually agree with that.
Agree with that, yeah.
First, second, third, and fourth wave feminism are garbage. They always have been. Their literal purpose is to try to eliminate the existence of a man or masculinity in any way. Women will always choose the man who offers them the most security and resources. No, that's not true. A woman's primary goal in life is to find a man who can provide for her and protect her.
don't totally disagree with that.
Not all women. Now, and even in a Christian perspective, let me say this. That's not necessarily always true with women either. Like, there are certain women who don't like I don't fault the nuns for saying, you know what, look, we're going to dedicate our lives to serving and all this stuff. We're, you know, that's going to be our thing. Okay. I don't have anything against that, right? I don't have anything against a woman saying, you know what, I want to have a career and I want to do something.
I don't have anything in a woman who says, hey, I just want to be a mom and a wife.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
I don't. There's many different aspects. I mean, you could. Now, what do I think that most women would be more fulfilled a certain way?
But also, I want to say something to the ladies out there, and I truly believe this: if you have a man who makes less money than you, but he's willing to come into your existence and provide infrastructure and support and help you build a life, he may be doing his part. It just may not be of money, right? Not every man's going to make 500 grand a year.
No.
Some guys are going to make 50 grand, 40 grand, you know, and they're going to be good men. So a lot of what I hear currently, and a lot of the reason why young men are stopping even getting in relationships is this: well, I need a man who makes six figures. Well, then you're going to fight. You're going to be with 100% of women who are fighting for 1% of men. You're going to lose. Right. You don't have the capability. Women are attracted, or I'm sorry, feminism has emasculated men and made women resentful of their own nature. I would agree with that in a large quantity. I wouldn't say it's perfectly true. And my last one, a woman's worth is determined by her ability to please and satisfy a man. No, God determined a woman's worth the moment he created her. He created her as a helpmate and to help us build the world that we live in. Now, here's my problem with Andrew Tate. He's a one minute he's talking about Muslim, one minute he's talking about Christianity, one minute he's talking about being a godly man. Nothing that he has said would come from the mouth of a godly man.
Well, I mean, okay, let's be even more clear. Like, his if you summarize it, and look, he's a guy who doesn't have a lot of like statements outside of what he does on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's like he's an influencer type of person.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so what he says, these little snippets are all he really gives out about things. Okay. So you got to look at these things and go, well, where does that come from? And it's a very materialistic, money grubbing kind of, egomaniacal, narcissistic nonsense. That's kind of what I see out of it. Yeah, there's some things where he says, I'm like, well, yeah, you could apply that in a certain way. But like, if your baseline principles are of, you know, materialism and money and everything else, then all of it's going to be messed up. Doesn't matter. Right. Mm-hmm. And especially when you start talking about, you know, having one woman is like, you're not a man if you have like, you know, one woman, all this kind of stuff. That's completely false. Not only false from a Christian perspective, but statistically that has ruined societies, dude. I mean,
let's talk about, you know, single mom households and the terrible things that happen when the father of the child is not there. You're just going to exacerbate that by having five babies daddies.
Yes,
right. No. You're not going to make it better by having five children by five different men.
Yeah.
You're just creating strife in your life and ruining any chance at a nuclear happiness. So
I don't want to spend too much time on this, Brian. I would just say, like, you know, we would say Tate is not a adequate remotely role model for any man. I mean, I would just say that, like, there's some aspects of his life that will seem very appealing in how, what he does and posts and all this stuff. But at the same token, he's wrapped around a worldly, disgusting view of what it means to be a man.
I mean, to each their own. I do believe that as an individual, but call behavior what behavior is. Right. Like, look, dude, and here's what it boils down to in everything we've been talking about today
and even in what we've talked about with Andrew Tate and the things that we've discussed, your worldview matters. And when your worldview matters, when your worldview not only impacts you, but you use it to impact people positively or negatively, you're on the wrong road.
Well, okay. Let's I want to detail that a little more.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me say this to add to your, and to pinpoint this a little more, what I kind of have come to the revelation of is like, the more we move away from an objective truth, the more we don't define truth as being objective.
Yeah. We define it as being whatever our truth. I'm going to live my truth.
Yes.
Okay.
If we don't look beyond the secular worldly nature of things and say, is there an objective truth? What is fact? What is fiction?
What is real? What is false?
You will never get, you will be constantly misled, manipulated, have false presuppositions around the way the world works. And I mean, that's, and I'm not saying that is to be like an egomaniacal dude, but like part of the Christian thing is like, we look at God's reality is the reality, and everything, anything that doesn't match up with his reality is false or a lie, right?
Let's take that a step further. Nowhere in the Quran would, and knowing this book because I've read it, would Andrew Tate's worldview be accepted. In the sense of, I'm the top G, me before everybody, you know, in the Quran, you have to have, you know, there are disciplines that you have to follow according to the Quran and things like that. And he, you know, if he's a Muslim, he's not a great one.
Well, like, you know,
I mean, if you're looking at the matchup,
I don't understand why people follow the Quran. I really don't, because it's a book that it contradicts itself over and over again.
It's a book that tells you it's okay to murder people you don't like.
Well, Muhammad, it goes through his life, and like he goes from more peace to more warmonger throughout the whole thing. Like it instructs people to do horrendous things just because they're infidels and all this kind of. I mean, it's horrendous. I don't understand it. It's absolutely absurd. It doesn't make sense. And it was written from the mumbles and meanderings of a crazy person. Anyway,
clickbait.
Andrew Tate says about that. I mean, when he talks about Christians, he's like, I don't see how you could, because he comes to it from a very Islamic perspective. Like,
yeah.
If you see a shirt that like totally is blaspheming Jesus, why you don't do anything? You're a coward. Well, no, because we truly don't think that has any power over me or Jesus, for one thing. Yeah.
Like, you don't, I mean, the opinions, creations, and subjugations of man have no sway over my faith.
As a matter of fact, he says he will be mocked and shamed. I mean, and he was naked on a cross and like died up there as a point of shame. Like that's what it was, you know, did all this. He took all of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole basis of our thing is we are completely, this is where the strength of Christianity comes in. Like, suffering and even martyrdom is part of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And there's historically, even that recently where they found those 70 Christians beheaded in the daggone Congo, right? Where the Islamists, the ISIS people had come in and did all that. And of course the mainstream media, again, says nothing about it, by the way.
Because they don't care.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, Tate's a worm. Just don't take our advice and do what you please. But like, that's just our opinion.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Along this lines of rites of passage for boys to become men are pretty interesting.
Yeah, they are.
And there's still some today that are.
There are some. There are tribal rites of passages in some parts of the world. There are traditional rites of passages. You know, in you know, there are religious rites of passages. There's all kinds of things that men still go through, you know, all the time in what they do. I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah, I think that. So when I was looking at this stuff, the one thing I do think is missing is we haven't really established clear indicators in our culture about when a boy becomes a man. And part of that is just because we've steered away from those clear delineations. We've created this adolescent stage, and kind of there's a lot of men who are stuck as an adolescent who never become men in this country. So that's why I want to kind of bring this up a little bit, is because the, you know, I got it written down here. I'll look at it in a minute, but there's still tribes in certain parts of the world that, you know, in the, a boy who's a teenager, not very old, 13, 14 years old, takes a spear and they shove him out and say, "Hey, go kill a lion."
Yeah. Or
don't, you know, come back.
Bring back something from the hunt, or you're not a man.
Right? I mean, look, that's pretty.
And here's the thing. I don't really look at that and go, "Oh, that's a shame." I'm like, "Oh, that's, you know, that's interesting." Right? That's an interesting tribal passage to manhood, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the driver's license, things like that, big markers in your life were signs that you were maturing and becoming a man, right? Like there's a lot out there that doesn't get discussed, and it also doesn't get discussed well. And I think one of the problems that I have with all that is, you know, this dismissiveness of, you know, manliness and the rite of passage to become a man. A lot of it too is we've infantilized men as well. Like we've you got to be, you know, you must be emotional and you must cry and you must understand and you must let your feelings be your guide. And no, because the only thing my feelings have ever done when I put them in front has gotten me in trouble, right? So, you know, we've infantilized a generation of men, which has destroyed a lot of rites of passages, because those rites of passages were what tested us internally to whether we were able to control our emotions and be decisive and action oriented. Right. So, you know, it's just a very, it's tragic to me that's lost. It really is.
Here's some examples. In Kenya and Tanzania, the Maasai boys aged 10 to 20 undergo a series of rituals, including circumcision, to become warriors. They participate in festivities, consume a mixture of milk, cow's blood, and alcohol, and spend years in a warrior camp learning skills.
Yeah.
The Satiri Mawi bullet ant initiation is in the Brazilian Amazon. 13-year-old boys wear gloves filled with bullet ants for 10 minutes, repeating this 20 times over several months. That demonstrates their readiness for manhood. So bullet ants, do it. You know.
Yeah, I know what a bullet ant is.
Yeah, that's
yikes.
Yeah, right. In Ethiopia, grooms to be must jump over a castrated male cow 4 times while naked, symbolizing leaving childhood behind. the Vanuatu land diving, right? They involves young men jumping from tall wooden towers with vines tied to their ankles.
Yeah,
right. So I got a little bit more historical, because I kind of went back to, because everybody, you know, 300 was a great movie, right?
Yeah,
it was. I love the story of the 300, by the way, but yeah. It's not exactly historically accurate, but
it is not.
But there is something that's historical here, and that's the Spartan Agogi. Mm-hmm. That was a 13-year training program for boys that started at age 7. Okay, so they would deliberately deprivation of food, sleep, and shelter. They had these intense physical training and military exercises with grown men, by the way, who would just beat them senseless, right? They would encourage them to fight each other, which was always saying. They had these endurance sessions of pain where they would have to take so much whips or whatever in order to see if they can endure that stuff. And most of the time led to they would just go until they passed out. That's where that was, right? And then they also had to like steal food as a test of their, you know, stealthiness and cunningness, right?
Yeah.
And then they did actually go and separated from their families and lived in barracks for a while, where they, you know, went through some training, hunting, dancing, and rhetoric. And there's also some historical things that say there was like some homoerotica crap that went on too, but I don't know.
Well, let me give you a couple more.
In Upanayana, a Hindu ceremony where boy's head is shaved, new clothes are put on him, and he receives gifts of blessings that tells him that he's a man. So they're not all horrible, right? Some of them are. Crocodile scarring. In Papua New Guinea, initiates are scarred with crocodile ink as part of their long ritual. So they're whipped with things that have crocodile ink, and they're scarred with crocodile ink. And we didn't know this, but knighthood was a ritualistic, was a ritual of manhood. In the 1600s in England, a teenage squire would apprentice with a knight, compete in jousting matches, and join a crusade to the Holy Land, and then he was a man. So, you know, and then there's also, you know, in a lot of them, marriage was a rite of manhood. That's when you were a man. You know, in ancient Rome, you were encouraged to marry early so that you would get citizenship.
Yeah.
And that you would be considered a man. Right. So there's all kinds of things that have happened. Okay. Right?
But one more I wanted to mention, because this is something that's right at home, right? The Native Americans had some pretty brutal rites of passage for boys to men in some of these tribes, right?
Yes.
One example was from the Mandan tribe, which I don't remember where they were. I got to go look at that. But they fasted for 3 days. Okay. Then they would take these wooden splints and they would pierce their chest and their shoulder and back muscles with these things. And then suspension from the ropes attached to the splints. So they're being held up by these piercings that they've got, right?
Absolutely.
And those weren't done with any anesthesia, by the way.
You weren't given like, hey.
I mean, additional splints hammered through the arms and legs and during this ordeal without crying out in pain. So in other words, if you did all that, you didn't cry out in pain. You would be then considered a man, right? For that one tribe. Other tribes, though, there was a lot of hunting ones for the Native Americans. Like, you know, you became a man when you could go out and bring back something for the tribe on your own.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And those were early, man. I mean, you know, you're talking the men became men when they were like, you know, 14, 13, 12 years old kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
it's crazy.
Even, you know, ritualistics of I'll call it epicity or reaching the pinnacle have bled into, you know, subcultures like gangs. Like, you're not a member of the gang till you're jumped in. Four or five guys jump on you, beat you up. That's a ritual where you become part of the gang, right? Like, it's weird because we've taken it away from our mainstream lives a lot, but we still accept it in areas that are considered unacceptable. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's even Mexican gangs where the women are raped in. Like, that's unbelievable to me. That some guy went, oh, okay, well, that's what we'll do. Right. But it's everywhere. And what you never hear is, well, that's unacceptable. But you'll hear it's unacceptable for me to go out and kill an animal and bring it home and eat it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me, that's where the, again, as our perspectives have gotten so incredibly skewed, we're not making sense.
Well, we tend to say we disregard the old ways of things because we think we've somehow evolved past some of this stuff. And I think that's a terrible way to look at that.
Well, here's the truth.
You know,
lights go out, power goes down, world shuts off. You got
to
eat.
I mean, you know, but I always go back to my grandpa, man. Like he had an eighth grade education, but yet was one of the smartest people I ever knew. Didn't say much. It's not like he spoke eloquently or anything like that. But the man built an entire farm by himself, like, worked his ass off to get money to buy the equipment and the materials to build his own house, build the barns, built the sawmill, made
something out of it. Yeah.
Built a cow barn, built all this stuff by himself. Like, you know, he did all of that and he had an eighth grade education, could fix anything. Like, the dude it was amazing. He went to World War II, served overseas in many, many years. A couple years, I think, is what it was.
Yeah.
Had stories where, you know, he had to pile up people in front of him so he wouldn't get shot, and sit there and would hold off you know, the enemy until reinforcements came and stuff like that. So that's the kind of man he was, right? Yeah. That was the one of the toughest men I've ever known.
He was a man.
And it wasn't necessarily because it was because he had been tested and made it through it.
Yeah.
Right? And then proceeded to be self-reliant and be a provider for his family. He raised six kids, dude. Absolutely. All on his own. Right? I mean, my grandmother was a fierce woman. Don't disregard that too. My grandmother would go out and help him lay brick.
Yeah.
And stuff. They were together all the time. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And you know, so him and his wife were just monumentally important in my life. And they like showed just how much you can do if you just freaking buckle down and you just do it. Yeah. Right. They were tremendous people. So the old ways aren't gone. They're just, in matter of fact, there's nothing to say that those need to be disregarded. We get a little stupid in that regard, you know? Yeah. So I guess I'm saying that for Western culture, how could we possibly get something to know when you've been, when you've really been from boy to man? And I say that even in my own life, like, I don't think I was even a man until I hit like 25, 26 years old.
Dude. I don't think in current Western culture you can. I don't think it's possible because anything that we do that's going to bring a level of stress is going to be considered abusive in this culture, right? Like, unfortunately, we don't believe in having sturdy people anymore. You know, but we admire them. It's what's crazy about this culture. We have a sturdy guy come out or a sturdy woman come out and do something amazing, and we're just all at their feet. But then we hear about all the torture and things they had to go through to get there, and we're all looking at each other going, well, that was not necessary. Actually, it was. That's what molded them into what they are, right? And if you take away the trial, you got to go through it to get to it. You take away the trial and the result doesn't appear. You know, you look at, I mean, I use Abraham Lincoln as kind of an example. I was raised in a very poor family, you know, dirt floor home, and didn't really have much. And I mean, he went through a lot of trials as a young man. If you read his history, he went through a lot and became the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think if he would have lived a pampered, unchallenged life that he would have had the stances and the ability to get the things done that he did? No, he wouldn't have. Right. Not at all. So I think in our modern, I think the first thing to get us there would have to be a pretty massive cultural shift.
Well, but I think we can establish that. I just look at my own self and I go, you remember in Encounter Church, right? I was leading the men's ministry there.
Yeah.
I wasn't a dad.
Yeah.
And I just knew what it meant to be a man. And even in that case, I think that I was a man at that point.
Yeah.
But I knew better than to lead discussions on parenting,
yeah,
being a dad,
yeah,
to those that were,
yeah,
you know, I knew that
for sure.
Sure, I could tell you the biblical stuff all day long about what that meant,
yeah,
but I didn't live it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. For me, I think it was when I just decided that I was going to serve in that capacity, that my life was going to be spent fulfilling the gospel ideal of a man. That's when really my foundation was like completely and totally into manhood.
Yeah. You were shifted.
And like, and then I became a dad, and which, then that shifted
that changes the entirety of your perspective.
It does. I mean, cause right? Then it just solidifies what your idea of manliness is, because now you have this, you are the father.
Yeah.
A father, not the, you know, but you are a father.
Yeah.
And so you kind of like it just everything kind of clicks with the whole father, heavenly father, and you know, all this stuff. So I think there's a way we can, a man in Western culture, maybe there's not like a signified rite of passage necessarily, but when you start putting yourself aside for the sake of the others around you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start actually being a contributor to the
provider
for your community or whatever, you're there. You're on the right path. I'll say that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot more stuff we'll get into later, but I think the rites of passage thing is interesting to look at. I think that for men, you know, we need to understand that the world can define that differently, but for a Christian, we've talked about this before. There's definitely attributes.
There's a line drawn definition as a Christian as to what a man is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it's just biblically, it's very clear.
Yeah. So Brian, anything else you would like to add?
Do your research. Stop talking out your rear end. Everybody's worn out with it, man. You lost. You lost the election. The majority of the country doesn't want what you want. This has nothing to do with Trump. This has to do with a shift in perspective and perception. We've seen the lies. We're no longer willing to accept them. We're no longer willing to sit back and be told what we're supposed to think. Be a free thinker, and then you'll actually be a proper human being.
And I'll add to that and say that we don't care about Trump and Musk being billionaires.
No, not at all.
Sure. We see that as a question mark, right? As a way to say we need to be observant and all this stuff. But the way that our government has been twisted into this piggy bank for the money mongering elite. I mean, that's not even debatable. I mean, that's just not.
Yeah. We can go down that road if you want, but you're going to lose that debate.
So I just see this as a better alternative than what we had. Period. And I approve of Doge doing this.
And then I'll also tell you this, when I see Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC and Jasmine Crockett and all of these elites that are wealthy because of their position get in line to give their money back, then I'll listen.
Yeah.
But I will not listen to someone who is a bourgeois elite, garbage talking, fact ignoring, babbling moron tell me what I should believe or what I should do. And that includes Trump. If Trump showed up here today and started telling me, no, dude, you're a billionaire. You don't get to tell me how to live my life. You're living yours. I'm leaving you to it. And here's the thing. If the elites would just own what they were, yes, we're very wealthy. We got there, but we're very wealthy. And we're going to stop telling you guys how you need to live because we obviously are not willing to live the same way. We'd be a lot better off. Maybe we'd actually get some real news and not all the spewed garbage that comes out right now from Fox News, from MSNBC, from all of them. They're all spewing their opinion, not the news. I don't care about your opinion. You're not journalists. I don't care who tells you that you are. They're blowing smoke up your ass to make you think that they like them because they're hoping to get rich by being connected to you. Therefore, you're out of perspective and you're in an echo chamber and you need to open the door and walk out. It's time for us to take back the truth. It's time to take back the truth. It's time to stop living in our fantasy world where our feelings matter and we all are butt hurt and we don't know what to do. I know what to do. Get up every morning and go to work. Be a good citizen. Care about people. Don't judge everybody on what they are. Try to be a part of them becoming a better version of themselves and let all this crap go.
We're R&B Talks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
Bye-bye.